Amos chapter 5 is where I had marked. Amos is going to do a little something unusual here. He's going to lament or sing to this group of a song of grief, but it's not a burial grief. It's a grief for the destruction that's going to come upon the children of Israel. And putting it in singing terms, and Brother Ernie had to sing it for us because I ain't got enough wind to sing all those different verses. But it said, "Hear this word, O house of Israel, this lament I take up concerning you." And he begins to sing, saying, "Fallen is the virgin Israel, never to rise again. Deserted in her own land, with no one to lift her up." And so, as we look at this, he's starting his first verse of this song out of saying to them, you know, that they're going to find that there's no helping hand out there to deliver them from the wrath that God's going to put upon them. Verse 3 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. "The city that marches out 1,000 strong for Israel will have only 100 left. 90% of them is going to do what? Die in the battle, isn't it? The town that marches out 100 strong will have only 10 left. Again, 90% of them will die. Verse 4 said, this is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire, and it will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it." And things that are happening, these Israelites here at this time and place are doing well. Economy's good. They're most of them, as we talked last Wednesday night, if you remember, there's one or two ways. What were they? They were either rich or poor. And the rich did what to the poor? Oppressed them, didn't they? I mean, treated them like trash. And he's saying here in this, there's only one sure remedy for the world that's sick and dying in their sin, and that's for them to seek the Lord and live, as verse 6 says. If they don't, he'll sweep them through the house of Joseph like a fire, and it'll devour and get them in a timely manner. So when things get tough, what should we do? Run for the hills, seek the Lord, you know. When all hope's gone, seek the Lord, you know. And whenever you see those round about us that are struggling, what's our place? Seek the Lord, and the Lord's going to have us to do what? Offer a helping hand in their lives. Look at verse 7. "You who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground, he who made the Pleiades and the Orions or the stars in the heavens and darkened days into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name." So he is foretelling here that all the law courts, you know, have been a or should have been, places of justice. And the poor and the oppressed ought to have been treated the same in the courtroom as the rich. But we know what happens a lot of times. A little under the table exchange will make a judge issue a faulty verdict, and the things that they do. And all this stuff just kind of become commonplace. And the Pleiades and the Orients are the stars in the heavens. And the Israelites spent a lot of time out under the stars, didn't they? And guarding their sheep or their herds or their whatevers, and traveling from one place to the next and stuff. And many of them got really adapted to navigating according to the stars, especially ship traffic, that was carrying cargo from one port to another or whatever. They didn't have all the instrumentation that we got today and all the means and qualifications and things that we can do today. They had to go on instinct of what they had watched and seen in the movement of the stars and stuff concerning those. Verse 11 said, "You trampled on the poor and forced them to give you grain." The old rich dude, he just bummed out on into a poor man's barn and load up anything and everything that he thought he might want. And the old farmer or whoever he was that had it stored up, what happens? He's left with nothing, isn't he? He said, "Therefore, though you have built some mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink of that wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great that your sins is." Wouldn't it be a shame to build you a beautiful home and not get to live in it? Have those fine vineyards out there with all those grapes and stuff and never get to taste the fruit of the vine and things. He said, "You oppress the righteous and take bribes. You deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent man keeps quiet in such times, for the times are evil." What would you say about the times today and a lot of our world around about us? I describe it as dog eat dog, it's everybody eats for his own. Verse 14 says, "Seek good, not evil." That's Amos's layman terms for instructions to the people there. He said, for them to seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. What do you have? If they'll turn from their evil to good and start doing that which the Lord would have them to do, they got a chance. But if they don't, what happens? Nothing. That beautiful home they got, they'll never enjoy. The fruit of the vine of the vineyards that they have, never get to taste it, because they have oppressed the poor and lowly, probably in most cases needy in their hearts and lives. Verse 16 says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says. There will be wailing in the streets, cries of anguish in every public square. The farmer will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. Burials in the time of Israel that we're dealing with here, the different tribe, was a very sacred time. And they stopped what they were doing and buried their dead. And so today we talk about some old scoundrel out there that's lived a mean and ugly life. And what do we say about it? They're going to have to hire pallbearers to bury him, you know. And our way of saying what, you know. He doesn't have any friends, doesn't have anybody to, cares enough to stop. But here he said, there's going to be wailing in the street. All the deaths. How many did he say a while ago? There was 100. There'd be 10 left. There'd be 1,000, there'd be 100 left, you know. A lot of funerals. So it was so much in the streets there of the death and stuff that they had to call a farmer to come out of the country and come in to help bury the dead and this situation here. Had to hire women to come in to mourn and weep and wail as they have died. He said, there will be wailing in all the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, saith the Lord. What happened the last time he passed through their midst? Way back there. And that old Passover, that death angel flew by. That wilting of blood on that doorpost, the oldest male child. Next morning, you could hear him screaming and hollering all over that country. What had taken place. All right, at the end of 17, there says, the day of the Lord. And then he addresses it this way. Woe to you who long for the days of the Lord. And day of the Lord is just the day that God's going to say, son, go bring my children home. For them, it's a time where they see the destruction. And in a few days, they'll see here, he's warning them of the Assyrian army that's coming, that's going to overthrow and tear up and throw out. And so, for the faithful, the day of the Lord is going to be a great day. But for the unfaithful, it'll be a day of sadness and darkness. And so, for the day of the Lord, they've been longing for that because they think it's going to solve all their problems. And what do we say a lot of times about the coming of the Lord? He can come today if you want, you know. In reality, what are we saying, you know? I've had enough of this. I'd rather be with him, you know. Who's in control? He is. All right, he asks this question about the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness and not light. And it'll be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and he rested his hands on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness, you know? And we've seen those dark days. But yesterday, as Kim and I were waiting in the doctor's office, she said, look at this. And she showed Kobe, our stepson, in Alaska. And yesterday at 1 something, their time, was the starting of the darkness over there. And it's no daylight for 100 and whatever days it is. I can't remember what it was, you know. But Kobe showed the last little bit of going down to the, and he said, nothing but darkness for the next however how many days it was, you know, concerning that. Verse 21 says, I despise your religious feast. I cannot stand your church services. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Is the Lord upset with them? He don't want their offerings. He wants what? Their confession. He wants them to confess and forsake and put it away. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will not regard for them. I'll have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert? O house of Israel, you have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your guards, which you made for yourselves. And he knew here that in the past Israel had turned to worshiping all these stars and the planets and stuff, and they preferred nature over God. And so that sin world allows people to do what? Anything they want and think it's all right to do it, you know. And he finished up 27 by saying, therefore I will send you into exile beyond Damascus. And to you, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. And Israel's captivity, you know, when he was down there in Babylon, it was beyond Damascus by no means. And people taken off to all parts. God's punishment was a lot more than just them being defeated here. It was paying for the sins that they did in their hearts and their lives. And saddest part about it, it's kind of like getting a prison sentence. As bad as it is, the worst part of being in prison, I would think, was being away from home and being away from my family and being away from, you know, because I had close relatives that had to do that. And but boy, you could, the very minute it was their time to use the telephone or their, they had certain things that they could do on certain days and stuff, you know, and things. And you sat waiting to take their call, you know, because they were so anxious to hear from home and hear from family. And that's what they want to talk about, is how much they miss the presence of home, especially when someone gets sick or someone dies and you can't get them out and get them to be able to come. And so let's see, he gonna lead the ones away that are beating up on the poor. He's going to go now to the complacent person. And he said, woe to you who are complacent in Zion, or the city of God, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nations, to whom the people of Israel come. So here Amos was coming after these complacent people. They had plenty of wealth, plenty of comfortable lifestyle, and they made people think that I got the tiger by the tail, I'm secure, I ain't got no problem, everything's fine in my life. But they left out one thing, and that is God wasn't pleased with their complacency and them acting like this and doing. So sometimes, you know, God expects us to care for those that can't care for themselves. You know, and we have to put the needs of others ahead of our needs sometimes. But I've had people tell me, I got all I can take care of me and mine, you know. What are they saying in reality?
Don't bother me.
Don't look for no handout here. And it's hands down. Go to Calmuc. Look at it. Go from there to Great Hamath. Then go down to Gath. And then to Philistia. Are they better off than your two kingdoms? Is their land larger than yours? You put off the evil day and bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. Now they had to have that ivory shipped in. And my study Bible that I study out of a lot told me the other day when I was going through this that, oh, it was a luxury that was probably the most expensive luxury that they could have shipped in by port from one country where the ivory was harvested. You know where it come from. And a lot of innocent animals had to die and stuff. And he said, you lay around, lounge on your couches, lie in your ivory bed. And he's talking about there's a bed of luxury. You dine on choice lamb and fattened calves. Ooh, they had all them ribeyes. He can have my part of the lamb. I don't care too much for that. But he said, you strum away on your harp like David. Improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowl fools. And use the finest lotions. But you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Another name for Israel. Therefore you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. Tough times are coming. Kind of like our Wednesday night, our Sunday night Bible study. What did it tell us? Tough times are coming, isn't it? And especially during the tribulation, thank God us who have put our faith in the Lord will be out of here and do their thing and their lives. He said in verse 8 here, the sovereign Lord has sworn by himself. The Lord God Almighty declares, I abhor the pride of Jacob and detest his fortresses. I will deliver up the city and everything in it. If 10 men are in one house, they will die. And if a relative who is to burn the bodies comes to carry them out of the house and ask anyone still hiding there, is anyone with you? He says, no. Then he will say, hush. We must not mention the name of the Lord. What's happening all across our world today? Trying to silence the name of the Lord, aren't they? Yeah. Can't talk about that. They ain't going to do that. They ain't going to say that. They ain't going to happen there. And it's led by who? Our media today is trouncing on that, and you won't hear them speak much of anything about religion or anything of that sort. And the things that are happening. But how do we bury our dead, for the most part, especially Christian people? We bring them where? To the house of the Lord, or to the cemetery, or to the funeral home, or someplace, and we have a service for them. And we talk with them about them and their life that they have lived. But he said, brother, be careful. You can't mention the name of the Lord. Verse 11 says, for the Lord has given the command, and he will smash the great house into pieces and the small house into bits. You know, we take pride in our homes, and there's nothing wrong with us having beautiful homes and nice homes and taking good care of them and all. But we ought to think more of our home than we ought to think of God, aren't we? And I tell you all the time, and I believe it with all of my heart, I don't think it's right to worship God in some less than I live. You know, I think his house ought to be the prettiest thing. And I can keep it. If I could keep it clean, that would be my downfall. But my old big feet, I trap in more than I track out. So, stuff. He said, the Lord has given the command. He will smash the great house into pieces and the small houses into bits. Do horses run on the rocky crags, them old big rocks? No. Does one plow there with an oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into bitterness. You who rejoice in the conquest of Lodabar. And as we think about what he's saying here, is all these border towns, all these people that were reaping the benefit of what was taking place in their cities and stuff. I tell you this all the time, and I believe it with all my might, you know. There's something about prosperity, you know, just getting ahead just a little bit makes us do what? Get too big for our britches on and things. And it's not hard to ride around and look, and you'll see a lot of people. We call them their toys, you know. And you wonder, the house they live in, the vehicle he drives and she drives, they live in the backyard, the boat, and the camper and all this stuff, you know. When do you use most of that stuff, like them toys like that? On the weekend, that's right. Take the Lord's day and made it our day, didn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Verse 13 said, you who rejoice in the conquest of the Debar and say, did we not take Carnum by our own strength? And yeah, they thinking a little too highly of themselves there. But what happened to the whole nation there? So whether they come from the north, the south, the east, the west, what's God going to do with them? Well, he tells us in verse 14, read it. For the Lord God Almighty declares, I will stir up a nation against you, O house of Israel. They will oppress you all the way from the Lebo Hamath to the valley of Arimah. And so the entire nation would be destroyed by the Syrians. And if you went back and looked in Kings chapter 17, you'd find that's exactly what happened in their lives. Any comment? Question? Thing you want to share? What's he going to say about us, you know?
Did the poor boys ever do anything? I know, and I said through all the other, I don't understand through all the warnings and everything that they was given, how. And just looking back at what's happened in the past, how you can.
Yeah. How do you pass over all of that?
Yeah.
So what happened last time?
Yep.
But I mean, we're doing the same thing right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what me and Chris was talking about earlier, you know, how New York, that had to be a slap in God's face, you know. That after losing all those lives and firemen and first responders and employees and stuff.
And
then go elect a Muslim socialist that promoting all that stuff. What'd God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? All them those places that the Bible don't tell you about, every little, there's a lot more went down that day than just Sodom and Gomorrah. And yeah, I look back to 69 when Camille come through and devastated the coast, and they come back and built back bigger and better, stronger than they thought. Hurricane resistant, can't you tell? Yeah. Wasn't nothing but a bunch of slabs left, but and again, and fires here, floods yonder, storms. He's talking to us. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, one day, the Bible called it what tonight? Day of the Lord. When that day comes, what do you say would say, people would say? They cry out and say, "Lord, Lord, I used to depart from me, but Lord, not depart from me." You know, that's going to be the sad day. A sad day. Had to go through that 3.5 years of tribulation, and then the last 3.5. It's going to be sad times. Father, forgive us for our sins and shortcomings and how we just live the life of leisure and fail to give you the thanks for blessing us with the blessings that allow us to have it. I thank you for this faithful few that come out tonight for this study. Continue to guide and direct and bless, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.